Hey, Sharon. Hey, this is for you.
Oh, what you got there, Lucy? Let's see.
I know it's a little bit after Christmas, but...
Well, you didn't have to.
I know, but you know, you're such a great friend. I really wanted to get you something.
Well, Lucy, it's a paperweight. Yeah. It's a beautiful paperweight. Look at that.
It looks like you. Look, it's got a star in it.
Well,
you
know, it does.
You love stars.
It's like hand-blown glass.
That's right.
It is heavy. The sucker's going to hold down a lot of paper,
it
Lucy.
Is. I know.
It is. And I have a lot of paper.
I know.
So.
That's why I thought it would be very apropos to get you that paperweight for Christmas. You love it?
I do, Lucy. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Hey, everyone. This is Lucy and Sharon back with you today with the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by
the Chemo Girls.
And so, of course, we were just playing around a little bit with the gift situation, but Sharon, have you really ever gotten a gift that was so ridiculous as a paperweight?
I actually do love paperweights. That's why I chose that, but... Yeah, I mean, have you ever felt like you wanted to get somebody something and you just didn't know what to get them? So you just got them something?
A paperweight.
Yeah, I think everybody goes through that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, you know, someone in your life is going through cancer, you really want to invest your time or your effort or your money into something that will make a difference, you know?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, not like a pink paperweight, studded pink paperweight.
And sometimes whenever you know of someone that's ill or facing something difficult, you really don't know what to do for that person. And
you
so you end up picking up some random something or sending them some flowers that are gone in 4 days.
Sure. You can dump $50, $100 in some flowers. And listen, I love flowers.
Nothing wrong with flowers.
Nothing wrong with flowers. My mom owned a florist most of my life.
Right.
But when someone's facing something like this, you can invest a little differently in their experience to improve it. And so... You know, you guys might not know what to do, but luckily...
That's why we're here today, to kind of coax you on a little things that you can do for a cancer patient that will be useful, won't be trivial, won't be something they'll put over on a shelf somewhere or die in 4 days, but something that can be of real meaning.
Right, and
to that person with that journey.
We're not really going to lead you in a particular direction to buy a particular thing here. We're going to give you food for thought, and we're really going to divide it down into three areas. One is tangibles, you know, things you can hold in your hand, acts of service, and emotional encouragement.
There you go.
The first thing I'd like to say about tangibles, not so much with the knickknacks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not so much with the knickknacks. I mean, they're great. But again, I think you can invest in something more useful. Something that I think would be really helpful is invest in, say, gas cards if they're traveling a lot for treatment.
That is an awesome idea. Because there is a lot of expense that goes into going back and forth to doctor's offices, getting lab work, doing treatments, yada, yada.
Sure. And another thought is going to be meal carts.
Right.
You know, so that somebody in the household can go pick up a meal that's appropriate for them at that time.
Especially a restaurant that has a variety of different foods and not like one specific kind of food, like Mexican maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people have a problems with certain smells, strong smells, and strong taste.
I would go with something a little more healthy, a little bit more like home-cooked meals, comfort food.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, that's an idea.
Sure.
And then another idea would be kind of check into some classical music and some guided imagery.
Fun, yeah.
Because that really reduces anxiety during chemo treatment and other types of treatments.
Yes.
And so we have found research that really advocates the use of classical music and guided imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And just music in general, books on tape are great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So another thing is you may want to consider a typical gift for them. I know this sounds strange, but if they collect cars, not, you know, big vroom vroom cars, but like a man that collects cars,
right,
classic mm-hmm. cars that he puts on his bookshelves, go find him one of those. And one of the reasons I say this is because sometimes you just want to be you again and you don't want to be a patient.
Right.
And so if you're getting something that someone is saying, you know, I still see you as you. I know you still have the same interests and stuff. That is really nice.
That's a perfect example, Sharon.
Yeah, I say cars because I like cars, right? I switched it to
a man. I don't see them on your shelf, though.
No, I keep them in the garage. So another thought is a care pack of some sort. Obviously, Lucy and I have taken great pains to develop our Got Your Backpacks, and we really believe in it strongly. But what you would want in terms of a care pack is kind of the wisdom of the journey,
right,
so that that prepares them for their chemotherapy session. That's something that will make a difference mm-hmm. for them.
That they can actually take mm-hmm. to that therapy session with them.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing would be like a gift certificate at a cancer boutique for a woman, you know, where she may be able to go buy wigs, scarves, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, prosthesis even, just depending on that person's need.
Right.
So that's kind of our take on tangibles.
Yeah.
So, Lucy, would you like to talk just a little bit about what I mean by acts of service? What are we talking about?
Well, acts of service are those random things that you can do for people that require just using your hands and feet
mm-hmm.
to do, let's say, errands
mm-hmm.
for someone. You know, when you're going through chemo, there's good days and there's bad days. But life happens every day,
mm-hmm.
whether that's a good day or a bad day. And so there'll be some of those days where your loved one will not feel like driving the kids to soccer practice,
mm-hmm.
picking them up from school, teaching Sunday school,
right,
planning the PTA meeting for that night. So those are some examples of things that you can step in and you can say to your loved one, I want to really do that for you today. Please allow me to do that.
Sure.
Other ways are doing housework,
mm-hmm.
Preparing meals. And, of course, it's always a good idea. We've talked about this before, but it's a very good idea to check with the patient to see what is tasting good to them.
Yeah, what they can tolerate at the time.
Exactly, and what they can't, and try to avoid that. I know that I know in the past I've probably taken meals to people that were some of my favorite meals,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily what they should have gotten. Now, I remember calling your house one time and asking what you wanted when you were going through treatment. And I don't know if you remember, but you said, I sure would like some chicken and rice.
So I'm sure.
Chicken and rice it was.
Yeah.
And so so always check with your families or put together something that is soothing, not real spicy,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of some good soul food.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
What other kinds of acts of service come to your mind, Sharon?
Well, if you see the grass getting a little high, just
mm-hmm.
hook up the trailer to the back of the car and bring a lawnmower and don't even knock on the door.
There's not always a man in the house.
No,
that's
there's
for
not.
Sure.
And sometimes it's the man that's not doing well or he doesn't feel comfortable leaving his wife. He's got his hands full with her and the kids, you know. And that's something that somebody did for us. You know, we just looked out of the front window. We heard a lawnmower going, and it was our next-door neighbor, Sam.
Aww.
And he just mowed the lawn several times. And one thing that I believe strongly is you need to kind of become very observant.
Mm-hmm.
Just look around, because when you're acting as hands and feet, your point is filling in the gaps of their life. If you see that their house is normally tidy and it's not the kid, you know, they're not able to manage all that's going on, well, just don't make a big deal out of it. Just go in and start tidying up. You know, if you see the dishes are stacking up in the sink, you don't have to make a big deal out of it.
Right.
Just go in there and wash the dishes.
Just do it.
Just do it, exactly. And if you see, you know, that the, if you understand that the kids are having to leave off practice and drop out of some things because people can't manage it all, hey, step in and at least offer.
Right.
At least offer to do that. But one of the big things that I would suggest is consider becoming the chemo coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
This is a term that we coined when we were writing the book, My Chemo Cocktail and Me.
That's
but
right.
The whole idea is to be that right-hand person, to coordinate meals so that the patient isn't having to do all of this, to drive or find a driver for them, to make sure they have someone going with them who can take notes and write down the questions they have. But this is all kind of one big job. We've already done a podcast on chemo coordinator. And so please do, if that sounds interesting to you, just go access that podcast and give a listen and see if that's something you might want to do.
Sure.
So I think that pretty much covers.
So access service or anything that is a visible sign of a need.
Sure.
That you can just pick up and do for that person that's not feeling up to par.
Sure. Just fall in. Do it.
What's that third section that you were talking about, Sharon?
Emotional support.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I do too. That's kind of where we fall, isn't it, Lucy?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
So emotional support kind of covers a lot of territory.
Sure does.
What do you think of, Lucy?
I think of receiving cards,
mm-hmm.
and notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think back on a friend of ours that has gone on before us, Edwin
Davis. I
already
know who you're talking about. You didn't even have to say it.
I remember sending Edwin, a good friend of ours from South Georgia, lost his life to liver cancer a couple of years ago, and sent Edwin a card in the mail. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't very long after that, I got a thank you card
mm-hmm.
from Edwin.
Which I'm sure was so eloquent.
To thank me for writing a card for him. I thought to myself, I don't think I have ever gotten a thank you card from somebody that I sent a card to. And I was talking to his wife about that a little bit later, and I said, he didn't have to send me a thank you card. She said, yeah, he did. She says he sends one to everybody that sends cards to him or does anything for him. And it's his therapy.
It is.
And so I will never forget that. But sending cards.
That's, you know, and Edwin was an administrator over me. And as a matter of fact, it is just amazing you mentioned Edwin. Guys, without Edwin Davis, I wouldn't know Lucy. He is who connected us.
That's right.
And when I was ill and going through treatment, working in that school system, it was Edwin that encouraged me. He made this all so as easy as possible on me. And I did get cards and notes from him. I believe his mother had been ill just before my illness, and this was before he was ever diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a soft spot for those going through cancer. And I got some amazing, encouraging cards from the man. He is
a writer.
He was a writer.
Yeah. I'm sure he's writing up above.
Yeah. And but I'll tell you that the cards and notes and such that I got, I kept. And I looked over and over them. And I still have them. And one in particular is a card that stays on my shelf visible all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. So, you know, it's great to email and it's great to text.
Yeah.
But there's something about that handwritten.
And feeling that. Yeah. Just feeling
it. And
it
comes in the mail. And
yeah.
I don't know. Guys, it's just special. So consider that. All right, Lucy, I'm sorry I interrupted you. So where else were we going with that? Cards and letters. Oh, videos. You know, we're mm-hmm. living in a day and age where you can record a video and send it over the computer. You know, Skype. If they're in the hospital and
yeah.
can't see everybody, how about find a way? Be sure they have a device.
Yeah.
And set up a regular time to Skype.
Who doesn't have a smartphone or a tablet these days, yeah, right?
And if they don't, fix it. Just fix it.
So, guys, if you have a bad cold, that's an excellent way to visit your person
right.
without sending them your bug.
That's right. And when you are free and clear of all disease and sneeze, then show up. That's just wonderful support. You know, I think a lot of the time when we go visit, we think we're expected to walk in like we've come off Mount Sinai with the tablets, with the Ten Commandments, you know, and that God's given us some great wisdom to bestow and everything's going to be okay. And that this patient is just waiting for this nugget that we will release when we sit down.
Yeah.
Get over yourself.
Yeah.
There's no fixing this, not like that. The only thing you can do is sit down.
Yeah.
Listen. Just yeah. listen. You know, don't struggle for things to say any more than you struggled for a paperweight
to
buy.
They may not be wanting to talk at all, yeah. but just having you sit there and know somebody's there.
Yeah, be present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pull their little hands out and pull out some lotion and just rub their hands down.
There you go.
You don't have to say anything. And listen, as we just said. And another thing is guard them. You know, if you see that in the beginning people are just flooding in and they're exhausted, this is somewhat the role of the chemo coordinator, but, you know, maybe just start whispering in people's ear. Can't you see that that person is wilting? It's time to, you know, maybe come back in a day or two.
Yeah.
That's all the visit they can take, okay? And I think that's wonderful stuff. If you can be an open book and an open ear
mm-hmm.
and a guarding person who encourages.
Sounds to me like the word to that kind of umbrellas this whole thing is observant.
Mm-hmm.
Observant to the need, observant mm-hmm. to where they are at the time,
mm-hmm.
and just be wise.
Sure.
To the choices that are made in order to help that person at that particular time.
Well, and the last thing I'd like to say about the emotional encouragement is, you know, typically people go through, they ebb and flow, they go through the stages of grief. You know, you're going to expect them to get angry and to get sad and so on and so forth and, you know, be in denial and all of these things. But if you notice that your friend is lingering in a depression, it might be time to be real and transparent with them.
Right.
And let them know that perhaps they might want to talk with their doctor about that.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Good guidance.
Yeah. And another thing is just encouraging them to look forward into the future and maybe plan some things with uh-huh. them. You know, take them out on days when they feel well. And just lift their spirits.
Good.
So, I think that's probably it on gifts for mm-hmm. cancer patients, Lucy. And guys, we really want to hear from you. If you have suggestions on this topic or you have another topic that's sort of burning in your mind or in your heart, we want to hear from you and would like to build a show around you. So you can reach us, Lucy. Would you like to give your
Sure. email? You can email me at lucy@mychemococktailandme.com.
And you can reach me, Sharon, at Sharon@mychemococktailandme.com. Please do come and check out our Facebook site. It's My Chemo Cocktail and the and for sign, me, My Chemo Cocktail and Me. And you can go to our show page if you've found us on iTunes or Podomatic and message us directly. So that will be at www.thecancersurvivorshow.com.
That's right. Let us hear from you guys.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. And I think that's a wrap on gifts. So, today is...
It's your day.
It's my day.
Tell everybody what a not just surviving, but thriving tidbit of the day is.
Well, it is a time at which you put down the business of life that seems to steal your mind and your time, and you choose to look around and be observant and see what life is offering you and partake. Like, live a second, carpe diem, that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. I know you have one today.
You think so?
I gotcha. I see ya.
Well, I think that my tidbit involves something to do with a trip that we took over the holidays.
Uh-huh.
And we discussed the trip in a previous podcast, but this is more specific. We went up to visit my friends Tim and Raquel. I love Raquel. I love Tim. And their kids are great friends with ours. They moved away a few months ago, and we have missed them sorely. But we did get to go up and stay overnight with them. And Tim is a musician. We love to hear him sing and play. And while we were there, they took us to this great coffee shop. It was in an older building. We went upstairs, had lots of character, a lot of art on the walls and such. But they were having an open mic night. Anybody that knows me knows that I love live music. And so we went through lots of original songs, religious songs. We had people playing the piano, the drums. My husband played the drum, and Tim played the guitar and singing. It was just lovely. We had poets. We had spilled hot chocolate, but that's a story for another day. And then they turned around looking for anyone else to perform, and they looked at my two little girls, 5 and 3, and they said, "Would you guys like to sing?" And, of course, my 3-year-old says, "Yep." And she takes off for the mic.
Oh, my goodness. So, baby at the mic.
Baby at the mic. Both girls at the mic. And we sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star every night before they go to bed. So I whispered in their ears so they wouldn't forget. And they sang on that mic, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And it was just precious. And it is something that I will never forget. Their daddy was listening to him while he was ordering coffees and hot chocolate. So that was, you know, I think some parents would say, and at times I would have, oh, no, 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 no. But why not?
Yeah.
You know, it was really special.
That's a beautiful tidbit for today.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks for sharing with us, Sharon.
Thanks for
Karen
sharing.
Sharon.
Thanks for sharing. Sharon.
So, everyone, we're just praying a blessing for you today. And Sharon and I are going to say goodbye for today. But we want you to remember that we're here for you. We want to help you and your loved ones in any way we possibly can. That's why we're doing this show. We didn't plan this show from the very beginning.
No.
But it was inspired by several women that we met with who we were taking support materials to, or were beginning to start chemo. And we just started hearing people say, "I wish that I could hear your voice every day," which is kind of strange to us.
It is really strange.
But you know what? I think that in some situations, we're the voice of hope for a lot of people. And so we got out of our comfort zones and started getting in front of mics and doing these shows. And sure. It's just been a real blessing for us.
I think it's nice to hear a voice from the other side. That's all.
That's
we're just
right.
average women, guys. We're just on the other side.
Yep. And we just want to, we want you to know that we're here for you in any possible way that we can assist. So, as always, Sharon and I are tuning off, but we are not just surviving, but thriving with you.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Next time.